Good morning, church. Beautiful day. Glad you all are here. We are very fortunate this morning to be able to have Reuben and his wife Debbie and their Elizabeth and David. Where did David? Oh, he went to the restroom. He's not supposed to do that. We're really glad that you guys are here. Reuben and Debbie have been part of Norwood for decades. And then they are going to describe how God moved them and used them. One of the things that I so appreciate about the evidence of God's grace in Reuben and Debbie's lives is the truth of God's word being so real. You know, Jesus said to the religious Pharisees, he says, "You search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life." And he says, "But these are they that testify about me." And yet they were dead and insensitive to Jesus and knew the word. And there are a lot of people today that know the word. They know a lot about the Bible, and they can quote passages of scripture. But there are people that know these truths but don't live them and walk them. And I have had the privilege, honestly, many of us have had the privilege to see the truth lived out in our brother and sister consistently. And we are thankful that they are here and give us a little update on what's going on in your lives. So thanks, brother.
Thank you.
As Marcus said, this has been our home church for many years, and we still consider it's our home church, you know. You guys, Norwood has been to us like the Church of Antioch to Paul and Barnabas. We were sent out from here. We were here for many years and then sent out. We were sent to Mexico, Oaxaca, Mexico, where we lived for 7 years. 2.5 of those years, we lived in a small village named Jicaral. And that was neat to be able to take the gospel there. And then 4.5 years, we lived in the trade town of there, which is... Yeah, it was about 3 hours away, 3 hours away, which is 45 miles, and it takes you a long time to travel through there. But Huxlahuaca was the town, and it's where Oaxaca, is a lot of indigenous people live there, indigenous to Mexico, and... Their first language isn't Spanish. It's they have different languages, Mixtec, Triqui, a lot of different languages. It's kind of surprising that you're there, that think that you're in Mexico, because in a lot of ways it didn't feel like that. But it was neat to be part of God's work there, and we got to see families from the village, a family come to know Christ. And then also, it's neat in the town to encourage others who knew Jesus, but to strengthen their faith and confidence in him and see him more clearly. As we've been back to the States, we've been back. We moved back about a year and a half we're in South Texas now. We took us time to reestablish. You know, we were gone for 8 years of time from here, and trying to come back and find a place to live and get a job and stuff. And all that takes a while, especially with no credit or anything to get the housing and stuff. But the Lord provided in many, many awesome ways. He takes care of his people, you know. We were able to find a good house and cheap rent and stuff. It happened to be a cousin's house that he wasn't using, or was just empty for a few years, so... So it's just neat. God provided that for us, and until we could get credit established. So recently, we have purchased a home or buying a home over there in San Benito, South Texas. It's a little town. It's been neat to see God's work in that. He's provided a good job for me. I work part-time, and... That's enough to pay everything we need. Covers all of our expenses with Deb being able to stay home and everything. So it's just amazing. I mean, I was, when you come back, all you just want to continue. You're never going backwards. You're always going forward. So we still just, the heart's desire is just to minister and share Christ with people. So this is a neat way that I can still have much of the time to prepare things and seek ministry opportunities. God has provided in that way. Because that's been our real goal, is always to been continuing the ministry. And so it's just amazing when God, you say, oh, I don't know how this is going to work out, because I know what it's like when you work full time and then have to come home and use short time. But that's why God has placed people like Pastor Mark in your lives to be able to study and come and bring encouragement and strength to the body. And so that's neat. You know, you really get to appreciate the work that he does and stuff. Because we need that. We need God just growing the things of him in our lives. Well, Deb, she's still homeschooling the kids, and that's been a neat privilege for us and a blessing. That's it. We've had, even just since we got back in Texas, we've moved three different times. So you're always moving from one place. We were in Mission, then Harlingen, now we're in Summit. Well, what's awesome is wherever we go, they always have the same school, you know. We don't have to worry about what the district's like or what the kids having to meet new friends, new people. It's just awesome, you know, that God gives us that privilege. And another thing that's neat that we, you know, I mean, we get to see is Deb's able to really focus on teaching the Bible to the kids and stuff. I mean, they're learning all their academic studies, but I mean, we always think what we want from our kids is the greatest thing we can give them or see is their understanding and knowledge of God, you know. I mean, everything else is good to get around in life, but that's the most important thing for us, is that they know who Christ is and what he's done. So it's neat, Deb. She's divided the Bible she's got three parts. So in 3 years, the kids will have read the entire Bible. So far, just last year, they've completed the first part of that. And so she just takes the whole book. They've read through Genesis and different books through the year, complete books. So now they've read a third of the Bible, and a couple more years, they'll be done with the complete Bible, you know. And that's encouraging, because a lot of times I meet people who have been Christians for many years who have never read the entire Bible. And I just go, wow, you know, I mean, how's that happened, you know? And Deb's like, well, you got to, even if you don't understand it or don't grab it all, it's got to get in your head first, and it can't come out of you unless you have something to recall, you know? So if these things are in your mind, then you'll be able to recall them later as they're presented and stuff. So that's just really, really neat. I'm excited to see the kids, and as we speak with them, they'll recall some of these stories back, and as they hear things, or hey, that reminds me of this or that. So that's neat. That's what we want for them. And Elizabeth, she's now 16, and she's got her permit. She's learning how to drive, and so that's neat. It's neat. And David, he's just turned 14 last week, the 17th of this month. So he's grown up to be a good young man, and both of them, Elizabeth, a great young lady and stuff. So we're encouraged by, and that's just by the grace of God, you know. I mean, we can, God's grace on them, on us. So they're just both growing in their understanding and knowledge of God, and that's exciting. We just want to see them continue in that. And that's our heart's desire. So that's pretty much about us and what's going on lately, I think. Now just for the ministry opportunities and things that we've been doing still is as we've returned, we're always seeking opportunities, how we can build up the body, you know, how we can build up. I mean, it's good to build up in numbers, but I always think it's great to build up in strength in the body, because I mean, that's what we want. Is we don't want people tossed and tossed to and fro by every new doctrine or so, or want them to just be firm in their foundation and strong in the Lord, that as new things come and new ideas, it doesn't overtake them, but they just continue to be strong in what they know and what they believe in God's truths, you know. So everything we have, we just keep on going back to, can it be, is that true, and what God's word says. And so you guys, I mean, that's what's neat is, you know, and I know that's the heart of whoever's teaching or preaching, just that the body would be built up in those things so they can stand, you know, when the fires come. And you just want, I always think of that, walls built of silver and gold, you know, instead of the hay and straw. So when the fires come, it still stands. Nothing can tear it down. So that's what a lot of we want to see is people strong in the Lord and doing that and building that and also sharing the gospel with those who don't know him. So it's two of those things, you know. We want to share with those that don't know him yet, and we want to build up what is there. So right now we're attending a church over there in Harlingen, which has good doctrine. And however, the thing is, I mean, not that everyone has everything together, but it doesn't seem that the teaching is emphasizing Christ and his gospel as much as we feel it's necessary. Not that we're anybody, but we want people to have a firm foundation, firm footing. And it seems like the focus is more on the multiplication of the churched people, you know, the growth of people, instead rather than the building up of the faith and strength and of the individuals, you know. So in Jesus Christ himself. Because we're convinced of the need to center everything on Jesus rather than on ourselves, our desire is to plant a church in that way, you know, plant a church and encourage people in that way. And we see much need and opportunity within the church to proclaim the gospel of Christ and to clarify true doctrine and to be a help to others and ourselves to continue in the faith in Jesus Christ. So what I mean is there's, as we find people and speak with them, you know, we want to see what grasp of hold they have on there. A lot of times you can run across people and they're just believing things because that's what they heard or what they read and stuff. But unless you truly own it, yeah, I mean, I always think of that. You got to own what you believe. And when somebody comes against you, you're just able to, this is why I believe the things that I do, is because of this and this, and this is what Jesus said. It's knowing the person, because a lot of things can be confusing as we read. But God's able to make those things solid in your life and firm. So when things do come and different teachings or whatever, and you just go, no, I'm not going to trust that because of these things and because of what I've read and studied, and you've grabbed your own opinion, but if you grab somebody else's opinion, you can only go so far, and then it stops because it's really not yours. You know, so we hope, and that's what we want, is people to take if they believe something, just know why they believe it. And God's truth, that they can go to the Bible and just back up everything that they say, you know. Oh, sorry. Yeah, somebody else here. I could say I got to stick to my notes. I start wandering off. So we see much opportunity in that way to come into the church and just whether inviting people over for dinner or talking to them, because a lot of times you can go to church many years with somebody and not even know what they're believing. But as you get together and you get to fellowship and stuff, go, oh, I never seen it that way. Or why do you think that, you know? And a lot of times it's because of something that they heard or something they were taught, and it just carries on. And it's like, well, yeah, but how about this scripture or that scripture, you know? So you're just running them through that. And so let's see where. So it's our desire to plant a church. And also, I just want to show you some of the ways that God's been recently working in our lives and wanting to ministry opportunities and avenues that he's given us. So on Wednesday, or first, I'll start with Deb. She's she started a ladies' Bible study in the house just a while back, and that's once a week, every Friday. She does it. It's a group of ladies that she's, you know, she kind of, we've been going to the church, and she's met ladies that have an interest in the Lord and want to grow in the Lord spiritually. So she's just called them up and invited them over, said, this is what we're going to do. And she's been starting with just not assuming that they already know the gospel or any. We're always preaching the gospel all the time. So Deb's, like, she's wants to get to that point and wants to people to be solid in what they believe and everything. So that's been a blessing. I've seen the ladies that have been coming have been encouraged the things they read, and as they see these things, because they'll be reading them, and it's like that's what they want, is they want to see Christ and real in their lives. Then on, so that's going on Fridays once a week, and Wednesdays we've met we were at a restaurant and saw this sign saying they had church service there on Wednesday nights. And so we said, oh, why don't we check that out? Because it's close to the house and it's a way to get to know people. We're always trying to get to know people, trying to find the people that are seeking after God. And that's what we ran across a couple families, and one's he was a pastor. He's trying to plant a church there in San Benito, Texas. So we just met with him a few times and kind of just getting to know where they're coming from, and they're getting to know where we're coming from, you know, as we get together and talk about those truths. So that's been neat. That's an opportunity we have. Now on Thursday mornings, we just started, right before I left was our first gathering with a complete group. We have four guys. Before that, I've met with this other guy a few times, just talking about wanting to get a study going of men's study in the mornings, just encourage each other, keep our eyes on the Lord, you know, and what God's doing, building up. You know, we want to get to the point where we're talking more about God instead of talking about our own lives, you know, and that's the only way that we stay focused on the right thing, making him the main thing. So on Thursday mornings, just meeting with a few guys, and it's been neat because just the initial meeting, and excited to get back and start getting more into those studies, encouraging each other to keep the focus and keep our eyes on the Lord. Then on, so that's a thing. And then, I mean, all this stuff is just snowballing. At one time, we've been sitting and waiting for the Lord to move and see how he's going to put things together, and just praying and asking for him, you know, Lord, you got to bring people. We can't minister to people if we don't have people, you know. So, but he's been opening that up, and it's neat to see him do that. So on every third Monday of the month, I go to Port Isabel Detention Center, do a gospel presentation there, message to the men there. And right now it's a neat opportunity because, I mean, the detention center is overflowing, you know. You have all these people coming across the border, and then they got to house them somewhere. So this over there, they've got a lot of men, and over there until they're processed, and then they'll leave. And it's kind of interesting, but you have all, they have more from other Latin American countries than they do from Mexico there now, you know. I mean, a lot of people from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, Cuba, even people from Saudi Arabia, there's people from China, so it's all over. It's just so easy. That's the easiest route, is to come through Mexico, right? So that's where everybody comes through. And it's such a, I mean, in some ways I look at it, it's a mess, because people can just cross over and they want to get caught, right? Because, hey, take me in. So they get caught, and then a lot of them, because the detention centers are so full, they have to send them to a sponsor in the States or somewhere to hold them until they can get processed. So they set them a court date when they got to come back. Of course, if they're smart, they don't come back. You know, I mean, that smart is less. No, they aren't gonna come back, because then, you know, they're gonna be sent off. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just another mess, not really. But God's allowed opportunity for us, because when I get back, I'm going to go to another area in Raymondville. Port Isabel is about 30 minutes south of me, of us where we live, and then Raymondville is about 30 minutes north of us. So we're right in the middle of these two places, and they're starting to fill up over there. So they called and asked for volunteers to come and share the gospel. The chaplains called from down there, if any volunteers to come in. And so it's kind of neat, because it's just starting back in action again, the detention center. So get to go and present the gospel there to all these people. And it's just really been a unique way that God's uses these things, because here you got all these different countries. I mean, we went to Mexico, so we just have Mexico right now. Now we come back and we're in our own country, and we still wanted to minister to Mexico and work that way. That's why we kind of stayed by the border. But then now here we are. We get to share the gospel with Guatemalans, people from Honduras, people in Cuba, and El Salvador. All these people are there. And you get a one shot. A lot of times just one shot to present the gospel to them, because a lot of times you see them that week, but then the next time they'll all be gone. It'll be a whole new group. So that's what I was thinking. It's like, okay. Oh, wow. Hey, Deb, you want to? It's my brother I haven't seen for a while. But no. Yeah. You like that, huh? No. But anyways, so it's just amazing to see God do that, right? I mean, here we come back to the States and we want to minister to certain areas, and then he comes and opens up opportunity that we can minister and hopefully get this gospel that some of these people, maybe that'll be what God uses to reveal himself to them. And then they get to go home and spread this gospel to the people in their country, home country. And it's like, wow. I mean, we can't plan out things, but God sure is able to, you know. So that's been neat. So, oh, I think she's going to. Sorry about that. It's kind of hard to get in contact with people, and then when they finally contact you, you're like, okay. It's hard to answer back, right? So, yeah, and so I'm hoping that all these things that God's been doing helps to be able to get that church plant going and everything, and he's just using all these opportunities, and hopefully he'll bring that church plant along with all these things and different people I'm meeting. Because we were just meeting, I don't know, it takes a while, but then you finally start running across people that you've seen and met, and start building relationships. And every time you move somewhere, it's like that, you know. As many of you have moved and come and no family or anybody here, and then you just start over again trying to figure things out. But it doesn't take long, but what's neat is wherever you go, God's always there. So you're never alone, and that's the way we feel. We're never alone, and with the Lord, He opens all those things up for you and people to minister to. So, of course, all this stuff's been happening so quickly in the last few months. It's like we finally got into the house and we got established, and now all these ministry opportunities coming. And so, let's see. So I don't know if we'll be able to hang on to all those things, but sure try with the Lord's help. I never want to be so busy. I see a lot of times people so busy that good things are busy on good things, but the problem is they don't have any time to stop and just be with the Lord and enjoy Him, you know? And that's always been something on my heart, is I don't want to be so busy that I don't have time to meditate and spend time communion with the Lord, because all the other things, I'd rather have that than a lot of other things. And I think one of George Mueller's books encouraged me in that way, when he was having a lot of people come by and they were coming to the Lord and everything, but he was finding himself not having time for his own communion with the Lord. So he says, well, I just got to put away some of those things and keep this time open. So yeah, we're pretty spoiled. I feel pretty spoiled to have the time that I do just to enjoy the Lord. So now I guess that's what's kind of happening in our introduction. I want to share those things that the Lord's been teaching us as we've been waiting for Him, right? So the things that really encourage our hearts and bring excitement and joy to us and stuff. And that's my hope. I mean, as I come here, you know, it's like that detention center. You get one time to come and try encouraging the body and building up what we have, you know, building each other's excitement and joy in the Lord. So my hope is that the things that excite me excite you guys also. And so I guess what I like doing is always putting things into perspective, right? We got to have a right perspective in things and the right place. Sometimes we look at the things that we can taste and touch and feel and see. I mean, all this stuff, and it's neat. And then we see, we forget, because God's a spirit, we can't see Him or touch Him or anything. And it's like we forget that the spirituality of things is more real than the natural things that we see. So we got to get our perspective right. The things that we don't see are a lot of times more real than the things that we do see. So God has created all the things visible out of the invisible, right? When He made creation, there wasn't anything even here except darkness. And then God creates the heavens and the earth and all these things, and out of nothing. So in reality, it's like I sit there and I think God is more real than all the stuff that we see, you know. But since we don't see Him, we lose perspective and go, it's like He's not around, you know. But we always need to keep our hearts and our minds focused on that's the reality. Reality is He is. I mean, all these things that we have, you know, temples or sacrifices and all these things, those are just a shadow of reality, of what God's put those things there so that we can actually read these words and understand where the truth is, you know, the true temple, the true lamb. All these things are for us to learn. And I don't know, I just sit there and it just amazes me in his infinite wisdom, you know. It's like we barely scratch the surface of that. So I just want to encourage you to keep remembering that we worship Him in spirit and truth, you know. those things, he is real. And so that's one of the things that encourages my heart. Another thing is the faith and hope and love of God, that he, the faith that he gives us and everything. And we know that the faith that he's given us is from him. As Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God." So even your own faith, you know, you think you have this faith and that. Well, that's not even yours, so we can't even boast in it. You know, it's God's. He's the owner of that faith. And so, I mean, wow, that's, it's not a result of works, but so that no one can boast. I can't even boast in how strong my faith is. I think it's all to God's glory, you know, and because he's the one that gives it to us. And then thinking, what is the definition of faith, right? What is faith? That would be, that's a hard thing to answer, but the Bible gives us that. And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." So we have this hope, and it's the assurance of those things hoped for. So God gives us a hope. And the hope that we have is that we're going to see Jesus Christ, right? Even as we see these songs and we see him on his throne, see all these things. That's our hope is, and this is a sure hope that God's put that in us. And that's our, I mean, isn't that everyone's goal? Just, I can't wait to see Jesus. I can't wait to see him. And that's what we look for, you know. Sometimes you hear these things of people going to heaven and talking about all these things, and they go, and they never mentioned that they saw Jesus. I'm going, well, if you didn't see him, it's not heaven, you know, it's somewhere else. Because, and it doesn't matter, yeah, it's like, if Jesus is there, then, if Jesus isn't there, then I don't want to go, you know. That's because our hope is seeing him, nothing else, you know. All this other stuff is just a side to that of, you know, streets of gold, all these things that you hear. It's like, yeah, but that's nothing unless you see Jesus. And so we just want to encourage you in that, that he's given us that hope. And that's a hope that not everybody has. The world doesn't have that kind of hope. But that's a gift from God. And there's a lot of things that you can hope for and in this life, you know. A lot of people hope to live a long life and have good health, or live enough that they can retire good, have a good income, that they can live out the rest of life with their, you know, in comforts or so. But those kind of hopes are just wishful thinking, because that hope can be gone tomorrow, you know. You die tomorrow, where's that hope? So it's not even a true hope, you know. In Christ, we have this hope. We die tomorrow. That hope's completed. You know, I mean, we're there. And what you were hoping for, the assurance of that hope is fulfilled, you know, in him. So that's an awesome thing, because, like I said, that hope only comes from God. All other hope is not hope. It's not even guaranteed. Maybe some of those things happen, but they aren't 100% guarantee it's going to happen. But with Jesus Christ, that's 100% guarantee, because the one that made the promise to us, he's able to complete that. So so God's given us that, and that faith and hope, and then the love, you know. It's like, why do we love him? Because he first loved us, right? As John says, we love because he loved us first. I thought, I mean, that's interesting. I sit there, well, so I think when I first came to God, you know, everyone, oh, I love Jesus, but they don't even walk after him. They don't even know him, you know. But after you've spent time with him and seen him, and he's seen the love that he has, that's when you actually start really loving God. I mean, you and then this is, you love him because he loved us first. I mean, I didn't realize I really didn't love Jesus. I just loved myself. But as he showed that over steadfast love and over again, it's like now it's just that love has just grown so much more. And it continues to grow and grow. And you just want to get people encouraged in that love that he has, because he just takes such good care of us all the time. And so as we grow in the Lord, we just, as we mature, it's just like we find ourselves not even be able to live without him, you know. It's just even the love for my wife, as we grow together, it's like, I feel like, oh, I couldn't live without her now, you know. And so that's the way God does that in our lives, and really puts our hearts on him. Another great thing that excites us and is the two things that, well, first let me, I'll share again that, you know, why the love is the greatest of these, because in this life, this is the only time that you'll have faith and hope, because these things will go away as that's completed, right? You won't, so this, what a neat experience that we have here on this earth to be able to have this faith and hope and this faith of assurance of things hoped for. And so these are things here. Another thing that excites me about God is these two things that he can't do. Two things that God can't do. How's that excite you, you know? But it's like, here's in Hebrews 6, 17 and 18 says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise of the unchangeable characters of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Wow. I mean, two things God can't do. He can't change his purpose that he set, and he can't lie. And those things grab just great encouragement, because what are the things that he promised us? He promised us, all who believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life. Oh, yeah. Have eternal life. Wow. So that's just a guarantee, because he's able to complete that guarantee. And so that's why that brings encouragement to my heart, is because I know what he says he'll complete. And we've seen that over and over in the Bible. I mean, as he says things, he doesn't change his mind, you know. He told Eli that he wouldn't have any family in the priesthood, you know, after his sin and stuff. And we just watch those things happen up to the last one gone. And I mean, it's like, wow, God doesn't go back on his word. So instead of bringing, it's, we can't manipulate him. We can't say, okay, if I do this and this and this, maybe he'll love me more. Maybe he'll give me this. It's like, no. God says something, it's in stone, you know. He is that strong tower, that rock that we can depend on. And that's what I think. If he changed one thing, if we read and we saw him change something, that would be the end of our trust and faith and what we're believing, you know. So I'm glad that we have a solid rock like that that never changes. He's not like man that sees things and goes, oh, maybe I need to do it a different way or this way. He's never done that, and he never will. So that's our guarantee. So this has brought great comfort to our hearts, and I hope these same things bring much joy to your hearts too, and excitement into your heart that God is real, you know. And you can't please God unless you believe he exists. Sometimes it's easy to start wandering off and thinking all this trouble and all these things and we're facing is just out of control. But God's in control of all those things. I mean, he says he won't let a bird fall from the ground without him permitting it, right? So, I mean, wow. I mean, how many birds are falling all over the place right now? And he's allowing each one to fall. so he can guide an arrow to complete what he said. And so those things are meant to encourage us and strengthen us in the God that we believe and trust in. So, and that's just my hope I want to present to you, and hopefully that'll encourage you as we sit there and try. I think of that. These are the things that encourage my heart. I want to be able to share these with you guys and encourage your hearts in that way. So anyways, now just at the end of this, as I was putting all this together and thinking about, you know, what to say to you, and a lot of times you can feel like you aren't doing anything, but you're just waiting on the Lord, you know. That's what we felt like. We got there, we're just waiting on the Lord, going, when things going to start happening? What's going to happen, you know? And then I saw what the Lord has been doing in our lives without us even thinking about it, you know. You're not even thinking about it. Because as in our time of church hunting, looking for a church to go to, our desire in the church hunting was to looking for God's people, you know. If you're going to come to a new town and you're going, where's God's people? Well, first place you're going to go to is the church. Try finding them there, right? Because you need that. You need that fellowship and encouragement and stuff. So in that, our desire was to find people and encourage them in the Lord, to keep their eyes on the Lord and see the beauty of Him. So after thinking of that, and this thing's made me think of Paul and Barnabas as they left Antioch. Where'd they go? They went from synagogue to synagogue. And Paul would proclaim in there, and then people would come out of there and wanted to know more. They wanted to know more about this Jesus. So they sought him out and stuff. And then, so this happened many times on their journey as they went. And then even Cornelius, you know, we look at the stories of Cornelius. Here he is, a worshiper of God. He's sitting there, and this is all he knows, is what the synagogue's been teaching him and stuff. And then God comes to him in a dream and comes to Peter in a dream, and Peter goes over there and starts explaining Christ and the gospel, and then he comes and wakes up, you know, to the Lord. And then also with Lydia and Paul, you know, Paul went from synagogue to synagogue, but then he comes into Philippi, and it's like, where's the synagogue, you know? You don't hear him, see him going to the synagogue. So he asks around and finds out where the people, the worshipers, worship God. So he finds out they worship by this river and stuff. So he went and saw the women worshiping over there and shared with them Christ. And then Lydia comes to the Lord, you know? And it's neat. Then we watch Apollos, right? He's out proclaiming the gospel in these synagogues and stuff of what he knew and stuff. And then here's a couple that Paul had shared with and taught in Christ, and Aquila and Priscilla, right? So now they come to hear Apollos, and then they go and explain more clearly the gospel of Christ. So it's like, wow, you know, how exciting. And this is what I feel like we've been doing as we're waiting, you know. We're sitting there waiting for God to do something and looking for him. Well, we've been doing this without even knowing that that's what we were doing. We were finding people and just encouraging them to put their eyes and trust in the Lord, you know. And how exciting. So just want to encourage you as you invite people over and talk about things, that you would just get down into get talking about the Lord and see where each one of you can be encouraged by each other's stories and stuff, and building up the body in that way, that as things come and new things come, you aren't tossed by them, but you're firm in what you believe, and you have all of what the scriptures that God's given us to do that, you know. And and that's just another encouragement, is just I mean, we know that the Bible doesn't save us, right? We know that it isn't our salvation. But it does share a lot of neat things that we can remember God by. As we always look back, God had different different celebrations for the Jewish people, always to remember their time when they were in Israel or Egypt, you know, in Egypt. And then here they come out and they get to have this gathering to remember their slavery and everything else and the way that God delivered them. And Moses' songs about the sea covering over the Egyptians, all these different things that we see. Those are memories of keeping their focus on the power of God. And that's what we have in the Bible, as we continue to read these stories and see them and just go, wow, look what God did here. Look what he did here. I think of that and go, wow, look at Gideon, you know. Those guys didn't even lift a sword, you know. And here God wipes them out before him. And it's just, that's what's neat. And that's what our desire is, just to keep on showing who God is. I mean, the greatest thing we can see is Jesus. We have, you know, like we're sharing, we can have a lot of things that we want people to see, you know. You got to see the Grand Canyon, how neat and awesome that is. You got to see Pikes Peak. You got to see this. You got to see that. It's like, what we got to see is Jesus, the creator of all those things. And when you see him, I mean, those things are neat, but when you see the creator, you even get to enjoy him even more, seeing who did that. If God could give you the mountain, you know, what's the greater thing he gives us? He's given us his son, the one who created the mountains, you know. So God's already given us everything we need in Christ Jesus, his son. It's always yes in Christ, you know. And I have to remind myself that all the time when I start asking for something. I have to think, I mean, we always ask for God's help, but I mean, I just think, why am I asking for something when he's already given me everything? He's given us Christ, and that's the greatest thing, right? I mean, not only the mountain, but the creator of it. All these things, sometimes we're the richest people in the whole world, you know? We don't even realize what we have. And when you stop and really see the reality of things, then it puts the perspective in the right place. And we get to enjoy this life, and we get excited about him coming. I mean, a lot of people, I don't know. I mean, that's why I don't want to sound hard, but sometimes I get excited when I see all these things happening, because I get excited and going, oh, maybe the Lord's coming soon. You know, I mean, that's the perspective we got to have. Paul and Peter, I mean, 2,000 years ago, they were saying the days are short, you know, they're short. We got to, and that's what keeps our joy and excitement, is knowing these days are short. Even if you live to be 100, that's a little nothing in eternity, you know. And we spend so much time thinking about the pain and sufferings and stuff. And I mean, the guy that was paralyzed for 38 years, you know, I just go, that's just a short time. That is a short time in eternity, right? I mean, sometimes we go through a week or a month of suffering and think, when's this ever going to end? Well, maybe it'll never end, and it'll still be a short time in eternity, right? So hopefully I encourage you, and just keeping your eyes on the Lord and the beauty of him, because that's what we want to see, is Jesus in the hearts, and that's how we make it through this this world, is God's already given us everything. And as he gave the Israelites all of Canaan, he didn't take the armies away. He left them there so they could learn how to fight. And those that have never seen war, those that have never tasted it, so you learn how to fight. So we got all these things. He's already given us heaven, right? All these things are still here. But so we can learn how to fight. And how do we fight? He's given us all the armor we need, all the things to fight these battles. And it's all in him. So as we fight and rely on him, these things just become easy. I mean, we still have troubles, but I find those things that come on my mind, they're there, but then I start remembering who Christ is, and they go away quickly. You don't last there very long. So hopefully you're encouraged to just press on and see the Lord. Thank you for the time.
It's just encouraging to see how God works in the background, always working behind the scenes. and thank God for his faithfulness to us. You know, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. And so we see that lived out in Reuben and Debbie's life, and he's working it out in your life too. There may be things that you're going through right now that are just perplexing. You don't see the end game, but God does, and we can trust him, and he is faithful. So rest in him, abide in him. And if you'd like to help out Reuben and Debbie, appreciate him preparing to share and coming up here to Colorado, we'd like to give them some support. And if you wouldn't mind putting a contribution in the plate on your way out up there on that table, that at least help them out in some way. We're thankful that you were here today, and we pray that God will bless your heart and life richly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for Reuben and Debbie and the work that you've done, not only in their lives, but through their lives to impact others. And I thank you, God, for the people that you've brought here. And I pray that these words that Reuben shared, God, as we see how his life is integrated with your truth and his the background of what he does and how he lives is all founded on you. And we thank you for that, God. And I pray that you would help us all to be built in such a fashion. And God, we just pray your blessing on these, your people. Ask that you would watch over them and just protect them and help us, God, to enjoy the day for your glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless.